And blessed be the name of the one holy and triune God. Amen. My senior year of high school at our graduation, because of the size of the service, we had our graduation at St. Mary's Roman Catholic Church, which is very kind of them to let the students from St. Stephen's Episcopal School be able to go and do our graduation there. And our speaker was an elderly clergyman. I have no idea what his name was. And the only thing I remember was when we got to our graduation was actually done in the context of a Eucharist, but they got to the sermon, our graduation speech, for us getting ready to graduate from this fine parochial institution as a college preparatory school to go off and join in with the other overachievers of the world. And the minister got up and he said, "Faith is like Mount Everest." And then I fell asleep. I really don't remember anything until my friends next to me nudged me and said, "Time for the next thing." When we hear this conversation go on about faith, and we get this wonderfully concise, reassuring, very simple understanding in the Gospel of John, as Jesus tries to explain to Nicodemus about the implications of faith in one's life, all I'm tempted to just say, "So, don't you understand?" And therein lies the sermon. The difficulty being trying to get a concise definition of what we are even talking about in a specific way about this word in our lives, which we love to throw around, or I watch people love to throw around, about faith. What is it to have faith? My favorite example was on in a series of interviews done with people asking them to define faith in their own lives. They asked this young man, "Do you have faith?" And he said, "Oh, yes, I have faith." And they said, what do you have faith in?" He goes, "I have faith in faith," which is an interesting question. So you have faith in a word, but you have no understanding of what the full meaning of it is. But then again, to be honest, in the Christian life and witness, if each of us were to line up and tell our journey of faith, complete or not, where you stand, where you don't, it would not be the same. And yet at the same time, when we have baptism, that event by which all of us in the Christian life and faith are brought into the body of Christ, brought into the family, we will recite from Paul, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all." At the same time, when you go and you read through the first two readings today, you encounter faith from a very different perspective. On the one hand, we encounter faith in Abraham. And what is it about Abraham that makes him so unique? What is it about Abraham that he becomes this model of faith for all time to follow? And the only thing we really get is that God makes a promise to Abraham where he tells Abraham, "I wish to establish a covenant, a relationship with you. And in this relationship, when you live into this relationship, as you and I go through this journey of this thing called life, the importance of it is not so Abraham gets everything, but rather so that as Abraham is blessed, his descendants will be blessed. But it's not just so then there's a special people that gets to be blessed and they say, 'Oh, good, we're in, everybody else is out.' The implication of it is quite specific. The idea being that as the rest of the nations of the world who live in a broken relationship with God because of the whole series of events, remember the book Genesis starts in the beginning, and you get creation, and humanity is given this wonderful gift of being made in God's image, but we're lousy with what we do with it. And from there, then you bump into how is it that we respond when God tries to call us back into relationship. And you bump into Noah, which probably was not a bad idea, but God, fortunately, has not tried to do that again. You have other wonderful stories with the Tower of Babel and other things that only illustrate how stubborn and difficult we are being invited back into this relationship with God. So it's an idea, God says. The rest of the nations obviously will follow this example of blessing and faith, and they will join the faith. They will come back into relationship with God. And that's what Abraham then does. Abraham simply goes. We don't get to hear about his faith journey in terms of how he had these internal debates, whether or not he really talked to his family, his wife about it. All we know is he went. And so you have this wonderful example of faith just to go and be part of a relationship. And yet at the same time, you get Paul, who's writing in his letter to the Romans, and Paul is, first and foremost, I want you to remember, he's a trained Pharisee. He writes about himself, not to brag, but I am a best of all the best. And he will go and he will talk about the problem with institutions, though, and faith and tradition as we begin to take it for granted. That the reason we are in this faith and where we are is because of what we have in terms of practices, in terms of actions that we do, which we think by God's love or make us better with God's love. And what he is trying to get us to understand, which a pious little Roman Catholic monk would be so transformed by his understanding, but the reality of this justification by faith alone, it's not because of what we do, but because of God's love for us. And that pious little monk, anybody want to guess his name? Martin Luther would then go and stir things up, trying to make sure that the church understood, don't think just because you are here that you're God's gift to the world. It is, in fact, because God is a God of love and God has made this creation in the first place that God is our gift in the world. And so we are to understand faith then as something that you have to live into, but there's an open-endedness to it. And then, of course, there are those who want to define faith. And that's wonderful Nicodemus, who shows up and he wants Jesus to explain who he is, where his certificate of authenticity comes from. He wants to be able to understand how it is that Jesus is able to do these things so that Nicodemus can then do them. What's the formula? And Jesus tries to explain to him, Nicodemus, it doesn't work that way. Instead, what you need to understand is that by the grace of God, God seeks to be in relationship with us because that's God's nature, and we, in turn, simply need to understand it's like the wind in its open-endedness. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it goes. Nicodemus goes, that doesn't make any sense. Jesus says, well, let me make it easier. You have to be born again. Now, to present that idea to a male who is having an identity crisis is a really hard task to put to that man. It's that wonderful, horrifying moment. You mean a man must once again enter his mother's womb like she wants him back. Did you once, kid? Not again. But it is this understanding of being born anew, born fresh, born again, born in a different way, that in this encounter, hopefully as we grow up in this life and faith, along the journey, you will be born again. And again, and again. It's not a one-time event. I do find myself at odds with others who talk about their one moment in life. I was not so fortunate as being knocked off a horse or to have some incredibly mystical, specific event whereby I knew that my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, had accepted me, and it was wonderfully kind of me to then turn around and say, I'll join in this relationship as well. Instead, it's been a lifelong journey with a person here and a nugget of wisdom there and an encounter and a challenge to be able to understand the dynamic of the faith is one where there are certain things I'll know and certain things I won't. And perhaps that other part of the faith journey is to remember it's also often taught. I know everyone wants to think our acolytes all know exactly how and why and what to do every Sunday. Just like you think the clergy are all so organized to respond to all of your questions and be totally prepared for this service, because everything is going to be exactly in order and the same, because we are Episcopalians and we will process in and we will process out. However, between processing in and processing out, there's a lot of open-endedness in the journey of liturgy that always happens. And in that, we understand, what does it look like to see or encounter God in a different way? Through the eyes of a child, through the eyes of somebody trying to do something new, through somebody being willing to take the risk and try and consider something differently. Even when we say something as wildly poetic and uncertain as this thing we call the Nicene Creed, our statement of faith, which the church has never agreed on, and people always struggle with it because they'll say, well, I can go with this part, but I'm not going to go with this other part. And when they also will say, well, then that makes you where you're outside the faith. No, it means you're part of the family that's doing what? Wrestling and struggling with your faith. It's not a formula that Nicodemus can get his hands around. It's not something that you and I can simply attain. Instead, what Jesus calls us to remember is that this question that we seek to understand about our faith is one that is modeled for us by those who have come before, because they did something incredibly powerful and very important. They showed up to a relationship. And they went and they did something incredibly powerful and incredibly important. They questioned, but how does this work, and is this the way it is every time? And then they would do something even more radical and more important. But it's not John 3:16, which gets held up at every football game. It's more along the lines of 3:17. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. It is an invitation into salvation, not because of what we do or who we are, but because of what God does and who Jesus is. For us to be people then who can be confident in a world that oftentimes says, well, this is not the way God should be. For them to be able to understand, it may or it may not. But if we leave the saving up to God, it will go a lot further than if salvation is left up to us. For us to be able to understand, there are going to be times in the struggle with faith that we will show up in the dark, clueless, not understanding anything that's going on, just like Nicodemus. But at least Nicodemus had the guts to come out of the dark and engage in a conversation to deepen his own understanding of faith. It is for us to be aware in today's society, where people are going to tell us a lot of things that ought to be, that we should do, or if you have the money, you can buy the membership here, or if you do this deed, you can be part of this group there. For us to understand, by baptism, you're brought into the family of faith, the body of Christ, to be able to continue in our own growth, our own formation. And who you are and where you are on that journey is going to vary because of who you are. None of us are the same. In a lot of ways, we white folk do look a lot alike. We know that. But we're not the same. It is for us to celebrate in the beauty and the dynamic of God's creation, how it is that in that variety of people and relationships and experiences that we have, for us to be able to go and seek, where is God working with us in that? It can be something as simple as somebody has greeted you that you'd never met before, or something as complicated as in a time in struggle with an illness, or trying to be a person trying to find something out, somebody else simply holds the door or holds your hand. It is incredibly mysterious in many ways, but it's also right there in front of us. So that then every Sunday when we gather together in the community, every Sunday when we come forward to the rail, we then will go back out. And when we go back out being fed, to understand that there are some Sundays you may leave where you will get the exact answer you were hoping to get. But there are other Sundays, it's kind of like batting in baseball. You're going to strike out a lot more times, it seems, than when you hit the ball. But it's not because there is an abandonment that has gone on. It's not because God is not present. But rather, it's because the journey continues. And just as Abraham shows up to the relationship, and just as Paul will sit there and push the question again and again, how is it that Jesus fits into this world that Paul understood but has been so transformed through the resurrection of our Lord? For us to remember what John is trying to get us to get through our heads about big questions in life. When you consider, just starting with the question that Nicodemus raised, but how can I be born anew, born again? Ask the question, but then pay attention. Engage in life and worship, engage in conversation, engage in service, engage in all those parts of our Christian life and witness, which make faith not a simple formula, but a part of our lives. Blessed be the name of God. Amen.